We're live.
We're ready?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to call the this study session meeting to order on Monday, February 26, 2024 at 5:30. Are there any changes to the agenda? No changes to the agenda. I will turn that over to Mr. Rose.
Mayor Pro Tem Smothers and council members, every other year, for the past 6 years, the mayor and council have authorized surveying the community to better understand their thoughts on the services that we provide. Tonight, the findings from the survey will be presented by Ryan Murray, who is with the ETC Institute. The survey results are statistically valid with a 95% confidence rating. Input into the survey results was provided by residents throughout each of the wards. Mr. Murray.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. I think we're good to go. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Rose. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem, members of the council. It's a pleasure to be here. First of all, I really want to apologize for not being able to attend our previously scheduled engagement. And I want to thank you all very much for accommodating me this evening. My daughter got sick the week before. I think I caught what she had. And then about 4 days later, my son and wife all came down with the same stomach bug. So it was quite the mess back home. And I think you all are lucky that you escaped that. But again, I really appreciate the accommodations. I know there's a couple new faces here this evening from back when, well, I think it's been a few years here. I think maybe we even did it virtually in 2021. So there are definitely some new faces. I definitely am excited to present the results here this evening. And my clicker does not seem to want to work. I don't think it's working. Am I pointing here? Okay.
Let's just have Charles, if you don't mind, just
sure
do it.
Okay.
And Ryan, if you would just indicate to him when you want to change slides.
Works for me.
Thank you.
All right. So if we go to our next slide. This is just kind of an introduction to our firm. For those of you who aren't familiar, we're based in Kansas City, actually in Olathe, Kansas. I actually live on the Missouri side, so I'm also a Missourian, as many of you are, as all of you are. So it's a pleasure to be here. As you can see, over the last 40 years, we've gotten quite the clientele from across the country. We're well experienced in this type of work, and our firm actually specializes in research like this for municipal governments, county governments, as well as state DOTs and all other sorts of government functions. So one of the things that's changed since I've been here, except for the stairs being a little bit more difficult than maybe they would have been last time, is that I'm also an elected official in my own community. It's very small. We're about 6,500 people. It's Greenwood, Missouri. I just like to kind of let everybody know I've been a consultant and I've been on the other side of the dais now for about a year. So I've got kind of those dual zones that I can sometimes speak to the results on. And I think the clicker is actually working here. So just to go over the purpose, I really like to frame things up for folks in terms of what we did and how we did it. And the next slide, we'll get into the how, but as for the purpose, it's really an objective assessment of residents' perceptions of the delivery of city services here in University City. We know that other factors outside of the actual delivery of those services can have an impact on our ratings, but the way that the questions were asked were in an objective manner. We have some analysis that we'll show as well called the important satisfaction analysis. It's meant to develop priorities for improvement or priorities for investment for your budgeting season. Again, that's kind of a roadmap that we provide to our clients based on the survey results. And inherently, that analysis comes out of the survey design. So even if 100% of residents would have been satisfied with all of the ratings on the survey, we still would have developed some priorities for improvement based on the inherent design of the survey instrument. And one of the most important things that I think we're able to do for clients is provide a little bit of context to your results using national and regional benchmarking. We've compared your results to a U.S. and a Plains average, which gives you an apples to apples comparison on how you're performing to others in the community or more broadly, the United States. One of the most important thing for comparisons to really understand is, you know, we might see a down rating in a given area or lower than what we'd expect to see in terms of very satisfied and satisfied responses. But if the national average or the regional average is right there within our same results, then we know that other communities are experiencing similar issues with the same services. When it comes to methodology, the methodology is a scientifically rigorous methodology where we randomly select a set of households from the community to participate and be included in our random sample. And that's from a list of all residential households within the city's limits, which gives each household an equal opportunity of being selected. We select those households and then we mail a survey out to those households. That survey packet includes a postage paid return reply envelope, a survey instrument, as well as a link and information on how to complete the survey online. We continue to follow up with residents until reaching geographic and demographic representation within the results. It's not enough to ensure that respondents were randomly selected to reduce the response bias, but it's most important to ensure that your results accurately align with demographic features found in the census. And so within our margin of error for the results, we want to make sure that our race, ethnicity, age factors, and other demographic features that were found in the survey closely align or within our margin of error for the results. When it comes to the overall goal for the number of completed surveys, we set that goal at 600, which I would suggest is pretty, it's a robust sample size for the size of the community. We were able to achieve 608 completed surveys. Of those 608 completed surveys, it gives us a margin of error of 4% at the 95% level of confidence. So if we went out and randomly sampled your households again, collected 608 surveys again, 95 out of 100 times, we'd get those same results plus or minus our margin of error, 4%. So if 50% of respondents in this survey say yes to a given response item, it's typically that 95 out of 100 times we'd find that at 54% or 46% saying yes, either yes or no. When we get to the demographic and geographic representation of the responses, I first like to use visuals just because the demographics are in the report. The visual of the map here shows census block groups of your community and little tiny red dots where those approximate location of the home address of the respondents are. This gives us an opportunity to map the responses on a map of the city based on the mean rating of these responses within each one of these zones. So this is an important map to kind of keep in the back of your mind as we get further into the presentation or as you review the GIS maps report, because some of these census block groups may have fewer than average or fewer respondents in total, which means that we should kind of take with a grain of salt the mean ratings. The most important one here are a good number of responses in that particular area, but there's also a large area where there are no residential addresses. And so if that area is shaded in red or orange, showing dissatisfied or very dissatisfied responses, we should really take note of really how many responses were in that particular area. Understand the volatility of that shading can really raise based on lower numbers of responses. When it comes to the overall results, I like to give a bottom line up front. This presentation will probably take me 15 or 20 minutes to get through. If you remember nothing else, I hope it's from this particular side. Most respondents in the community have a very positive perception of the city and the delivery of your services. Almost 80% gave excellent or good ratings when asked to rate the quality of life in the city, which is one of those major report card items. You know, if you run into somebody else outside of the state of Missouri or, you know, in a vacation spot and you say, well, where do you live? Well, about 80% of your respondents, when they say Missouri City, are going to recommend your city as a place to live. And that's just 8 out of 10 respondents or 8 out of 10 residents in the community. Only 71% of respondents gave excellent or good ratings when asked to rate the overall quality of services provided by the city, but that's 20 percentage points above our national average. And so I use that only 71% and then follow that up with the contextualization that we're 20% above percentage points above the national average, which is really the important piece here. It's not necessarily that 7 out of 10 are rating us excellent or good, but that we're overachieving compared to some of our peers. I apologize. Satisfaction with city services in your community is significantly higher than some of the benchmarking areas that we have. When we rated your U.S. and Plains average, you were above the U.S. average in 32 of the 41 areas, or almost 80% of those. And we'll get a little bit more into those details as we get into the benchmarking slides. When we talk about perceptions, I do like to just generally go through these. As I mentioned from the start, all respondents have, you know, their inherent biases when completing the survey, but this is a really good report card of how folks generally think, feel, see the community that they live in. When we see overall quality of life in the city, overall quality of services right at the top there, we see overall quality of new development in the city and how well received that's been. That is bucking a national trend, most definitely. Most respondents in most community surveys that I do, in fact, right before I came here, I was on the phone with Newark, California, and I think 22% of respondents were satisfied with that particular ranking item. Now, that's a pretty built community. They're not doing a lot of development, but it just kind of gives you that idea of how far those perceptions can really sway. And then when we get down towards the bottom, that second blue arrow, how well the city's managing or planning for redevelopment. Again, a good or near majority of respondents are giving us excellent or good ratings, which shows a lot about the way that the community's one, planning and managing development, but two, most likely how you're engaging with residents and propagating or pushing out the information that you're giving. When we ask how likely you'd be to recommend the city as a place to live to a friend or colleague, we have exceptionally high ratings throughout. I did fail to mention that most of my charts tonight, the blues are going to be out to the left. Those are going to be positive ratings. Out to the right are going to be our neutral, or excuse me, our not likely, our dissatisfied, our very dissatisfied, poor, below average. Here in this particular chart, it's not likely or not likely at all. As you can see, there's very few of those particular responses here. Anything in neutral is really a passing grade. Folks are kind of giving us, you know, not a positive sentiment or a negative sentiment on the given item. On question 22, we asked with agreement scales now, so strongly agree to strongly disagree with how fairly and impartially each city department treats all members of the public. We're performing pretty good until we get into building permits and code enforcement, which can have a lot of personal issues within there. You know, one neighbor may think their neighbor's out of enforcement on codes issues. They call the city, they're unhappy because the person is not, in fact, out of codes. Or you find yourself out of code, and then the city comes knocking and says, hey, you know, you must take care of whatever issues on your property. So that's a really contentious item. We see pretty good number of neutral responses there, but still a good clip of strongly agreeing agree statements, meaning that staff are at least serving those residents equally, and not everybody feels like there's a contentious piece to that particular enforcement. When we talk about satisfaction with the major categories of services provided, this will lead us to our important satisfaction analysis that I mentioned at the top and with section on here in just a bit. But this is the area where I want to highlight with those arrows, those areas that are of most importance, or actually the areas that are the highest opportunities for improvement based on the important satisfaction analysis. Now, typically that analysis will highlight areas that are below average satisfaction and above average emphasis or importance ratings. But here we see parks and recreation programs and facilities near the top. You performed exceptionally well, and it is also imperative or very important for residents that you continue to maintain that high level of service for that particular item. As we get towards the bottom of the list, it's enforcement of city codes, again, and maintenance of city streets, which can be areas of emphasis, and respondents let us know that, and we'll see that when we get to the important satisfaction analysis. When we talk about some of those high priorities as maps of the city, it's a little bit washed out on the screen here, but anything where you're kind of seeing white in the middle are really neutral respondents or weighting out or mean average to neutral. There's only one area when we talk about the maintenance of city streets, it's actually averaging out to be dissatisfied, and that's in that lower right-hand corner. And we have pockets of generalized satisfaction throughout. So it's kind of a mixed reception in that particular item. When we get to codes, we actually see a little bit more of a fluctuation of responses, meaning that there's a lot of satisfied throughout the community. And some of those neutral areas, we're likely seeing some dissatisfied responses bring us back down to neutral. And so that's why you see some yellows out there on the top or the north, and then again out there to the right side of that map. When we get to one of our third priorities for improvement, effectiveness of communication, we're performing very well throughout the community. It's just one of those areas that's kind of in the middle in satisfaction, and they really want us to continue to emphasize it. And when we get to parks and recreation, one of our final opportunities for improvement, we see that the community is generally very satisfied with that particular item, and it's just one of those areas we need to continue to emphasize. When we get to benchmarking, I already alluded to this, but you perform exceptionally well compared to US and Plains averages. You had 41 questions that were directly comparable to our database. The US average is based on a survey that we administer every summer, most recently summer of 2023, to 10,000 US residents. And the Plains average is based on a larger average of 2,000 completed surveys in those states listed below. It includes Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, the Dakotas, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin. When we talk about how you've performed, you rated above the US and Plains average in 32 of 41 areas. Significant differences are those that exceed your margin of error, so plus or minus that 4%. When we talk about significant ratings, you rated higher than the US average significantly in 26 of the 41 areas, or 63%. And when we talk about our more regional average, you rated actually above 70.7% of those areas. I'm not going to show all of the benchmarking tables. They're found in the full report. But as you can see here, your satisfaction with major city services, the ones that we were able to compare, you rated significantly above in every area. When we talk about community perception ratings, we're rating above many of those key areas and right along the lines when in terms of feeling of safety and appearance of the city, just not significant differences. So performing exceptionally well when we talk about comparisons. When we talk about priorities for improvement, we're back to that major categories of city services. We did this analysis a few times, and you'll find all those tables in the full report. But what I'd like to show next is the overall services that should receive the most emphasis over the next 2 years. So respondents out of that larger list out to the left there, you can see all those items. Respondents were asked to choose three of them that they think should receive the most emphasis. And we see maintenance of city streets, parks and recreation, enforcement of codes, and effectiveness of city communication with the public, all receiving about 30% or more respondents selecting as one of their top three choices. So those items that are highlighted now are kind of all towards the top of the list because they've received relatively high compared to other items on the list, speaking of the items at the bottom, in terms of emphasis. When we get to the actual analysis, this is formatted a little bit different than you'd find in your report. I like to be able to have an opportunity to kind of explain this from the way that I've seen it over the last 15 years. Areas at the bottom in green are those areas for which we could invest heavily in them, but it's unlikely to have a dramatic impact. Now, overall flow of traffic is just something that I think some communities here in the St. Louis region have just kind of assumed that it's going to be something that they have to deal with. We see this in some of our suburban communities in the Kansas City metro as well. But when we get into those yellow items, those are the areas that if we were to see a slight reduction in quality of service or a slight increase in the most important ranking, we could potentially see those items break that 0.10 threshold, which would consider them as high opportunities for improvement or areas that you should invest in over the next couple of years. As we get into the red and the top item, maintenance of city streets, these are the items that are most likely to give you the biggest bang for your buck in terms of investment in your next budgeting season. This is really just related to the community survey results, perceptions, overall quality of life ratings, overall satisfaction ratings. But the analysis suggests, and over the years we've seen, that if you're able to increase satisfaction in the areas at the top of this list, overall or generalized perceptions continue to increase. Now, there are many other factors that influence overall satisfaction with the delivery of services, but maintenance of city streets is going to be one of those areas that definitely impacts it if we're able to push the satisfaction number up. Same with enforcement of codes, effectiveness of our communication, and continuing a high level of service when it comes to parks and recreation facilities and programs. When we talk about communication, it's going to be one of the key areas to ensure that we continue to receive these top results. And when we get into the improvements that you may start to work on, it's going to be a key area in making sure that you're engaging with residents and also making sure that they understand what improvements you're making or what steps you're taking to address some of the survey results. The good thing here is that you're performing exceptionally well compared to the Plains region and national average when we talk about the satisfaction with city communication, which means that you're going above and beyond most typically. This is likely a direct relation to some of your perception-related rankings. We know this based on a work that we've done with a local university back in Kansas in their data science program. And basically, we fed them about 30 years of historical data for about five communities. And what they said was the largest correlation was as communication scores raise, so does generalized satisfaction. And as communication scores wane, so does satisfaction. And so we know that this has a major impact, just as the important satisfaction analysis does, on the overall quality of your delivery of services. But that's most likely because you're engaging with setting the bar for and also telling residents what you're doing to address some of these priorities that they have. When we talk about the frequency of different communication methods that are being used within the community, one of the reasons that you're receiving such high communication scores is because you're the primary source of information. When we talk about the frequency of use, the ROARS newsletters right there at the top, it's really not even a close second to our city website or our Parks and Recreation Guide, even though those also receive relatively high levels of usage. When we get into the second part of this question, we're asking now about effectiveness, and this is where you just close the gap on everybody else. Your newsletter is the most effective source of communication about city services, programs, and projects, according to residents, followed by your Parks and Rec Guide, your city's website, and then your Facebook and your social media stuff. So overall, you're in a really advantageous position. You're the primary source of communication, it feels like, for most residents. When we get into Facebook, when we get into Nextdoor, Instagram, while we do suggest that these are supposed to be city-run sources, I do have a hunch that most residents are just saying, generally, I'm getting my information on Facebook or Nextdoor or Instagram, not necessarily always from the city. And we know that those social media platforms can tend to propagate or at least push out some of those more negative perception or more of those negative news stories than what we're able to kind of push in our newsletters. When we get to our summary, I can't say enough about how your results have held up. I've given probably 20 in-person presentations over the last 18 months or so. I've had to tell a lot of councils and come up with kind of excuses as to why the results are plummeting. Some of it's anecdotal, some of it's based on reality. You know, sometimes there's been major city issues or, you know, lacks in funding or shakeups at City Hall. All those things can have major impacts on the perceptions of residents, but most importantly, the delivery of city services. When you look at your trend tables in these particular results, you do see a heightened level of responses in 2021 where the results are exceptionally well. Post-COVID, we saw a massive increase in satisfaction really across the country. And not until later in 2021 into 2022, and most importantly, last year in 2023, have we seen a falling off of all of those ratings. You know, it was good during COVID, it got better in 2021, and it just dropped off. For University City, we just didn't really see that drop off. For the most part, you've been able to kind of sustain the delivery of city services, and residents are telling us that they're able to see that in the community. And I think it's really important for you all to know that, because that takes a lot of effort and work by staff. You know, a lot of the areas rated on this survey are directly related to the performance of key staff members in the organization, and they all deserve a lot of credit for keeping these ratings high. Now, they're more closely aligned to our 2019 ratings than they are 2021 ratings, but that's probably more of a regression back to the mean, with the 2021 ratings kind of being an anomaly for most communities. When we talk about benchmarking, you're higher than many communities. 70% of the areas that were assessed compared to the regional average, you're above significantly, that 4 percentage points or more. We should always focus on the important satisfaction analysis, but we should lean heavily on the staff's interpretation of the results to provide some guidance and next steps in terms of how do we implement, utilize the results, and then how do we prepare for another survey 2 or 3 years down the line and kind of continue that pulse, or taking the pulse of the community and reacting accordingly. I've got a full copy of the report here. I'll do my best to answer any questions that I can in person. Anything that I cannot answer tonight, truthfully and honestly, I'll get a written response back to Mr. Rose.
Are there any questions, Mr. Clay?
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, and thank you for your presentation. A few questions. Do you work with any other municipalities in what would be considered our metropolitan area?
Yeah, we do Clayton. We a couple of years ago did the St. Louis County, and then a couple further back to the west. I think Wentzville, I just did Maryland Heights. And if you'd like to see a localized average, is that what you're kind of alluding to?
Yeah, if you have that would be great.
So let me try to see if I can get a local St. Louis area average. If I don't have enough, what I've done for other clients in the region, Clayton specifically, is kind of taken some like cities from our KC Metro, where we do just about everybody's survey, and kind of merge that with the few that we have around here that are recent. And that gives us a really comprehensive view. While St. Louis and Kansas City are definitely different, a lot of your suburban communities, there's a lot of overlap in terms of how we're associated with, you know, Jackson or Wyandotte County in Kansas City compared to St. Louis County here, and the impacts of those county roads on some of our services.
Okay. Thank you. I'd appreciate that. Geographic distribution, you talked about that. And I'm thinking specifically amongst wards. Unfortunately, I left my presentation in the car, but when I recall, did you explicitly say how many were from each ward? I see the dots and they look relatively evenly distributed, but
but if the city has GIS shape files showing your ward files, we can definitely distribute the responses across that, and I can easily run a frequency table to show you the distribution of those responses. So Mr. Rose, if that's something that some staff member would like to send to me, I'll send it to my staff.
I understood four words that you said in that, so
I apologize. I'm speaking quickly. I apologize. I know you all have a thick 30.
I don't know how difficult or easy is to do, if it can be done without much frustration, then that would be great. Yeah. But if it's a science project, then
it's not.
I can go without it.
Yeah, no, we'll get it.
In speaking about communications, we saw that it seemed like our print modes of communication are the most usable and effective. We have things like Explore U City and other email communications. Is that subsumed under Civic Plus Notify Me? Is that where that resides?
Mr. Rose might have a better.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, Councilmember Clay, we did not survey those new communication platforms that we use at this point. I believe it gets the gives the community the opportunity to become more familiar with them. And so during the next survey, that's something that will certainly add to it.
Okay.
And finally, more to this is a question for Mr. Rose. What are the conclusions that your team is drawing from this? Obviously, code enforcement seem to be one in street maintenance, but are there other conclusions that you're drawing from these results?
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, Councilmember Clay, I think the what it confirms is what we have known all along, especially as it relates to street maintenance, that it's important that you as a council continue to invest resources. It identifies here as streets, but that includes sidewalks as well. And you'll see that in the larger, more detailed document that you'll get. But I think that's important. Also, as it relates to code enforcement, ensuring that we continue to invest resources in that area. I believe that we'll need to drill down in some respects to determine what does that mean, because it's always different for each community. Code enforcement, that's kind of a blanket a statement. But what we believe at this point that they are referring to probably has more to do with housing and ensuring that the housing stock continues to be high quality. So we'll take a close look at that, at the results in that area. And as a part of this year's budget process, I'll certainly be recommending modifications, especially as it relates to sidewalks, based upon the findings from this survey.
Okay, any other questions? Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Related to the print communications, do you find in other analyses that you do with other cities that the print is equally as strong?
Yeah, we're combating this perception across the country where we need to go to digital. Right. And what we've seen, and this is more of a case study of Parks and Rec organizations across the country than it is municipal, because fewer municipal organizations have shifted completely away from print communication. And so what we've seen in our parks surveys is that there's a dip in satisfaction with the level of communication as soon as they go to like a digital guide. And so what we would assume is that people are more accustomed to or trained to know that that's regularly coming to them versus the deluge of junk emails that we're getting every day, you know, from Starbucks to, you know, our water bill or whatever it might be. And so I think that there's some sense that at least for the near future, print is going to be very vital to making sure folks are informed. And I think part of that is because we're so fixated on digital communication that when you get something printed from your city, it seems more meaningful. And we haven't studied that in depth, but that's what it seems like from our parks and recreation work is what's going on.
Okay, thank you. Well, not to put you on the spot, but with some of the other cities that you've looked at, are there any other print communications that other cities may do that we may not be doing in terms of communication?
Yeah, the most fruitful one is from the city of Olathe, which is actually our home office. You know, one of the things that we struggle with is innovation at the office, but we don't want to use, you know, some of our clients as guinea pigs. So we've got a good home office client in Olathe, Kansas. It's about 150,000 people, high performing organization. One thing that they did that we tested was print communication on code enforcement. And that's been something that you've been mentioning. And one of the things that they've done is two times a year, they started out with, we're sending out notifications to different neighborhoods who experienced a lot of calls about the same issues. So in the spring, it was about lawns. In the winter, it was about shoveling sidewalks. And then they started them in the summer about boat parking too. And what they found was a complete reduction in the number of calls and requests, because it seemed as though folks were self-enforcing upon themselves, or at least maybe even pointing to their neighbors and saying, hey, didn't you get the postcard? And so they were just sending out minor postcards with a little bit of generalized information. Here are some of our most common code enforcement requests. And it seemed to have a major impact on them. I don't think they do a printed newsletter on a lathe anymore. It comes in their utility bill now. So they're still high performing, less of a printed newsletter, went to that printed code enforcement guide, and now they've got kind of an uptick in those ratings. And that's something not a lot of communities, I think, are doing.
Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned the utility bill, because we do send two pieces of mail to every resident in, or every household in the city, and that's our trash bill. And I think that would be an ideal place to look at kind of low-hanging fruit to increase the frequency of those printed communications. I just have one more question related to street maintenance and repaving. I would hope, and I haven't gone back through the prior studies that we've had, I would hope we've had some improvement there. Do you have any suggestion where we are right now? If you look back 8-9 budget years, we were spending a fraction of what we're spending now. Mm-hmm. I think there's been an extraordinary emphasis on making sure that we are properly funding our streets, particularly repaving. How to best effectively, you know, communicate that?
Yeah.
We have another huge project coming up over the next 12 to 24 months that I think people will feel. I think everyone travels Pershing and the Parkway. Any thoughts on?
Yeah. I think that you've always been handicapped by the county. And I think a lot of communities in this region are handicapped by the largest thoroughfares in your communities sometimes not being under your control. And even though we created this time in the survey a very long list of county maintained roads, I have a strong suspicion that folks still can't separate. And that's where that personal bias comes in. You can't separate the, I think I'm correct here. Hanley is not a University City road. You know, there are certain aspects of your commute or your drive through town that you just can't separate when it comes to rating the report. So that's a difficulty. The other thing is road signs and those completed as promised type signage can go a long way. That's also something that Olathe is doing, that actually MoDOT picked up doing most recently. And that was, we do a customer service survey for them as well. And as I was presenting, that was one of the things we discussed. And actually on the way out here, there was a bridge and it said completed as promised. And so that's something I think goes a long way to showing, hey, they made the improvements and now they're completed, and kind of giving that continuation or really closure to that particular situation. One of the biggest things is communication in terms of street maintenance, because I'm guessing if we had Public Works in here, he would tell me, or she would tell me, you know, we've got a maintenance schedule and we kind of cordon off the city and we do different streets in different years. Well, one of the things that we've noticed in one of our smaller communities in the metro area is that the quadrants of the city that get the street repairs have more dissatisfaction surrounding them in the prior year, you know? So in 2022, you fix, you know, this block of streets. Now all the blocks around it are upset if they didn't get theirs repaired. And so there's this, again, bias to the situation. Communication can help. Signage can sometimes help, which is just more communication. But truthfully, I think setting the expectation is going to be important through that communication versus saying, we're working on it. You kind of set the expectation that this is a long process. You know, the fact that you're devoting significantly more dollars to this issue than you ever have before in the past, I would wonder, you know, and not to say that anybody's not communicating this, but I'd wonder how many average residents know that. You know, you're spending this much more per square mile than you were 10 years ago. You know, those types of messaging, you know, sometimes we might take them for granted because we're here doing the daily work of government. But for an average resident to hear that type of messaging can be pretty impactful, I'd imagine.
Yes, thank you. I think I hear what you're saying about the county roads. I think there's certainly some truth to that. But I would say from my own experience, I think the challenge is finding the balance in the number, because we have spent considerable sums of money, many times what had previously been spent, and we're making progress, but it does take time, and we do have a constrained budget. And I know that that's certainly on the public works director's mind and the city manager through budget season. But I'm very proud of what we've done. And I really appreciate that we do this. I think this is incredibly valuable for the city, for the administration, for the staff, and for the council members. So thank you.
And to that point, if I may, you know, there's some sense that this is important because these are our customers in a sense, you know, government client relationship. But there's also this sense that, you know, you've hired subject matter experts in key positions here throughout the city. And so I'm sure public works directors can give you the true nature of where your streets are at in terms of that grading system. And my public works director frequently, you know, comes into the meetings and gives us the true rundown of, you know, where we're at, what our grades are across the city. And that oftentimes is in conflict with the messages that I get in my ears or, you know, the texts or calls that I receive. And so I think that's always important to note is that staff always have a really good handle on most of these issues. And now we're more so here, you know, talking about how can we shift perceptions of our performance versus how can we actually perform better, because I'm sure you're performing better based on the increased investment. So I think it's important to kind of understand those two relationships and how they can kind of be in contrast with each other.
Okay. Mr. Fuller, did you have a question?
I think you covered it, but I'm new guy here. So when you you talk about we sent out 600 surveys, and how did you control the random by mail versus online?
Great. Great question. So for about 600 completed surveys in a community this size, we'll probably select about 2,000 households to be randomly selected to receive the paper copy.
Okay.
Based on that address verification question that was at the end of the online survey, we can manage who was and who was not included in the random sample. So what we know is that as soon as people got the surveys in the mail, the URL was online and folks were taking the survey and we saw a bunch of hits, but we've got an address verification question. And so at the end of the online survey, if you don't put one in, your survey is reserved into a separate bucket. Or if you put one in that doesn't match the random sample, your survey is still put into that secondary bucket. Now I reviewed this. Unless we get about 100 to 150 of those responses, I oftentimes do not suggest that they're even worthwhile to process. And the reason for that is that if you are so adamant about completing the survey that you were not randomly selected, you did not receive a survey packet in the mail, and you still wanted to complete it, you've got some of the strongest opinions, either pro or, you know, con in the community. And so it's our job to ensure the statistical validity of the results is maintained. And we do that based on the address verification or the address-based sampling. Great question.
Thank you.
Yeah, something
thank
I definitely did not mention.
Hey, Ms. Klein.
Yeah. I have a question about, we have a lot of private neighborhoods in our city, and those neighborhoods collect their own fees and are responsible for their sidewalks and streets. So I'm just wondering if that's a factor in the survey.
I'd have to say so. I mean, I'm thinking of question 9. I think Mr. Rose was too, when he was talking about sidewalk maintenance. I was looking at it again this morning and just before the presentation. And question 9 is more of a drill down on some of our maintenance of city street services. You know, the items towards the top are leaf collection, quality of street cleaning. The bottom is quality of street repair, followed by the condition of county and state roads. But we've also got sidewalks in here. And I may be mistaken, and I apologize now, but sidewalks is one of the areas that was, excuse me. It was not question 9. I apologize. It was question 6. And so question 6 has condition of city sidewalks at the very bottom. It's just continued to decrease. That is a frequent misunderstanding by residents across the country, that if you're in one of those really, you know, gated communities, it's typically the HOA that's going to do it. But even as private residents across the city, in many cities, the residents are required to upkeep and maintain their sidewalks. City of Cincinnati is a big case study for that, where they're going through these neighborhoods that have, you know, terrible sidewalks. They're gutting them, replacing them, and then residents are getting like $50,000 bills in the mail from the city. So that is a definite problem, most likely, in terms of that communication. That is such a tricky subject to kind of navigate, because which communities do and which communities don't, and where do you draw the line and how do you communicate that effectively is just a really tough issue. But I imagine if those HOAs have not been upkeeping their sidewalks to a good degree, I'm sure they're not also telling them that we're responsible, you know, as the HOA. The HOA is not telling them, oh, we're responsible for that.
It did look like one of the areas that was the dissatisfied area was
interesting.
It looked like it was at least part of one of the big insights. Private neighborhoods.
Yeah. I mean, those are great insights to have. Yeah. And even though it may be an issue in the community and other places, that can definitely provide a heightened view. And that's where the maps can come in handy. While we're looking at extremely high margins of error, it can give us pinpoints or pocket areas of dissatisfaction in some of those areas. You know, subject matter experts such as yourself know better than I do, even though I do this all over the place.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. Having done this now for us, is it three times?
Three times.
Do you have kind of those summaries put together in a way so that we could see what changes have been made over the 6-year period?
Yeah.
And then staff can maybe look and see what priorities and how our funding changed, match that up to see if what we kicked into the bucket actually impacted it. And if not, what the reasons are that it might not have made an impact just by money. It could be communication, it could be perception, whatever it could be. But that would be helpful. And then we could monitor that over the time period.
I frequently do that. We'll have a research staff put together satisfaction and dissatisfaction trends from 19, 21, and 23. The reason I didn't spend a lot of time on trends is because you'll notice in the report, 2021 kind of sticks out as a sore thumb everywhere. You know, it's just kind of artificially high ratings that year, you know, in a lot of communities. And so I think that me now providing that message to council and staff now knows that and, you know, sees what ETC is seeing in other communities. The context is there, but without that, you'd say, well, why are our numbers down? And it's more of a national perceptions decline than it is a performance related issue, most likely. And so, yes, we'll provide tables for you. We'll kind of designate significant differences, and we could definitely pull that as kind of an appendix to the report.
Mayor Pro Tem, I was also going to comment. I think it's important to note that the results of the survey reflect that we're doing really well in these areas. I think what we've asked Ryan and his company to do is identify, if you're going to continue to invest, where do you get the best bang for your buck? So that's where those areas of improvement are important. Also, as Councilmember Klein has pointed out, some of the responses that we'll receive are in regards to things that we don't have control over. But being able to identify on the map those various responses helps us. For a good example is we recently completed significant improvements, street improvements in the third ward, the west side. And I think that it has been reflected in the responses that you've seen. So it is working. To your question, Councilmember Hales, I think that we need to continue to ask residents what they think, but also keep in mind that, you know, some of the responses may be dealing with things we don't control.
Okay, if there be no more questions, and I just want to make sure, it looked like everybody had their bite at the apple in reference to questions. And I also wanted to say, Mr. Mulligan, I don't want you to feel left out. Now, if you got a question, you know, you're perfectly able to ask that question. So anyway, thank you for your presentation. And I did want to say, Councilmember Clay actually asked the question that I was going to ask, and I'm looking forward to see what your results locally are in different municipalities around here. I'd like to see and be curious about how that turned out. So again, if there be no more in this study session, is there any closed session or anything that we need to address? Okay.
There's no executive session for tonight.
Okay, well, we will adjourn this study session right now, and we will meet again at 6:30 with the City Council. Thank you.
Thank you.